Oh, gosh.
Survivor specialists Phil and Alexa are back after an absolutely fire episode of Survivor. Nice. I can't help myself. I am one of the young, cool kids now. Survivor episode 3, 45 is on an absolute banger to start the season now. Sabaya is gone. Our narrator, the woman I never thought was going to go home early after I put her at number 18 in my bootlist rankings. Never have I been more wrong in my life. She's gone. Alexa put the tweet out. But before we actually start breaking down this episode, we do have a monster announcement coming. So we're going to get that out of the way first, and then we're going to go into the deep dive here. So Alexa, I'm turning it over to you, and I'm doing something I never do, and that's muting myself and letting you talk.
Yeah, Phil wouldn't even let me take the hero position in the podcast for this one, but I have some pretty sad news. I am not going to be podcasting further after this season. Season 45 is going to be my last full-time season. It's really hard because this season is incredible. I'm loving it and I love the show. I'm not going to stop watching the show. I am not going to stop texting Phil and yelling at him about tweeting. But it should be no secret to any of you that I have lost my love of podcasting in the past few years. Phil and I have really, really enjoyed podcasting for so long. It's been like 6 years, but I am just, it's not there for me anymore. I still love the show. I still love all of you. I'm still going to go to events, but this is just not, it's just not something that is long-term for me. So I'm really sad. I was not nervous until like 5 minutes before I started talking, but I don't really know what else to say. I'm really upset. It doesn't feel like it's over because I'm going to be coming back on plenty of podcasts. I'll be helping out a little bit behind the scenes as I transition out. But yeah, that's what I got for right now. I'm really sorry to, I don't know, the fans. I don't know. The fact that we have fans is crazy enough. So I'm so thankful for everyone who has listened and subscribed. This is not the end of the Survivor Specialist. This is not the end of this podcast, but this is going to be the end of me consistently on the podcast.
Yes. So I'm not going anywhere. So I see all the comments here. So all the comments here are very upset. And I definitely have some nice things to say about Alexa here. The top one though, and we don't like, so we want to shoot down all speculation right off the bat. Right? Alexa's not on 47. That's not the decision that is being made here.
It is helpful that this is happening now because casting isn't like, I'm here. I'm not going on Survivor, to be very clear.
Yeah.
I might be hosting a Loteria Loca podcast after this, but Phil and I will have to discuss that offline.
Yes. But yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep going. Will may come back in some capacity. I'm so stubborn. I'm just going to keep driving ahead. I'll have guests. I'll have myself. Alexa will appear from time to time. I am bummed Alexa is leaving. For anybody who hasn't been around since the beginning, I'll get my nice things to say about Alexa out of the way early. This way, by the last podcast, I can just kick her in the butt as she goes out the door. But Alexa literally saved this podcast. For those of you who joined, I don't know, during season 41, if you came in post Winners at War, if you did anything like that, you don't understand, right? Because me and Will, and some of you are probably like, who the hell is this Will guy and why is he coming back?
Wow.
Because it's been a long time. Will and I started this podcast at the end of season 29 and we started doing it. And then season 30, we really picked up and we went crazy. Season 30, 31, 32, 33, we were cooking with gasoline. I mean, we were flying. And then Will had to be a dick and actually go get hired by Survivor as a Dream Teamer. And for anybody who's interested, go look up Dream Teamer Makes Challenge. That's Will, who was on this podcast originally. I was there when he met Kierhofer. It was this insane experience. And Will ended up getting cast. And like, it's led to an incredibly successful career for Will. Now he's not even really doing Survivor. He's just having an amazing career. Mm-hmm. So Alexa, though, it was at the point where I wasn't that comfortable doing this yet. I was not that confident. I was not the person I am now. And I was like, if Will goes, we have a good thing going. We just got Adam Klein. We just got Brett LaBelle. We just got Chris Hammonds. We got Sunday Burquist. We got Jessica Lewis. I mean, we were cooking. And I was like, what do I do? And I was like, well, I'm going to ask Alexa, because Alexa likes Survivor. We went to college together. She'd always talk about how she likes Survivor. And so she came in and she said, sure, I'll do it. We'll see how it goes. And that was season 34. And it is season 46 or 45. 46 is the one she's not doing. It's season 45. And I mean, for 34 to 45, I don't think either one of us expected it to go on as long as it did. We didn't really know what to expect when it was happening. And Alexa just jumped in and started doing it. And without her, we would not have continued to go on. It would Survivor Specialist wouldn't be what it was. And we wouldn't have been able to build the community that we've built. And it's been really cool. And I'm really happy about it. And I'm sad to see Alexa go, but you know, we always said it was always me and Will when we started the podcast, Alexa and I, whenever we talk about it, if you start to lose the love for the podcasting, if you've lost the interest and like the same fire, it's not worth it. Because at the end of the day, we're not doing this for the money. We make very little money doing this. It's so negligible. It's insane. We appreciate our patrons though. So thank you, patrons. Patreon.com/Robert. But no, we really do. But it's hard. It's hard to balance that, especially now as we're getting older and into our 30s, which makes me so depressed to say. I know I'd be ancient by Survivor terms. I'd be on the old men tribe. But it becomes hard to balance it all. And for me, I'm somebody who has gotten a lot of opportunities out of this podcast. And a lot of what I want to do is creative, and I want to be a writer and a podcaster and a talk show person. Like, I just want to be talking. I just want to be creative. And I'm not saying Alexa doesn't, but if you're not really trying to springboard this into something at this point, it kind of is like, okay, where is this going? So I respect the decision. I'm bummed about it. I was not able to read the comments there on the right side during that. So I'm sure all of it was like, you know, F you, Phil, we're not going to listen to you when Alexa's gone. But she's finishing out the season and she doesn't have a freaking choice, even though she won't be here next Wednesday. So that is planned.
Yes, that is pre-planned. I am going to an event that I will send pictures of. God damn, Phil, you're going to make me cry.
I'm really good at getting people emotional. I'm a writer, damn it. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Yeah, Phil's the creative one. I am not. But one thing that I want to make clear, just from seeing some comments, and I don't, listen, like, make all the jokes you want. This is a decision that I am making personally. This has absolutely nothing to do with the show. I love watching the show. I do not, I have no intention of going on Survivor. So please, I don't want to hear it. So this is already like a very hard decision for me. It's been, to be candid, this has been seasons in the making of me just not knowing what to do. So that being said, I love you guys. I'm loving all of the comments. It really means the world. Please say Survivor Specials, Phil and Will are back, which means something to some of you. And like I said, I'm going to come back on this podcast, and I will come back on in March and April and May and whenever filming is to prove it to be
Exactly. We're going to have the hologram of Alexa that appeared.
but I'm still going to be watching. I will still be bothering Phil. I will still be probably like having a lot of FOMO and just like asking to come back on. So don't worry about me.
Sorry, I'll have to fit it into my schedule. Sorry. I don't.
I'm busy now. I'm doing, you know, all these other podcasts. So anyways, if you are interested in applying to be me, please email survivorspecials@gmail.com.
There is no new Alexa. So and that's the thing. Survivor Specials film will might be back. John and McKenna are still going to be working in the same capacity. At least I hope so. We did it to them earlier, but I hope so. But I'm just going to keep trucking along. I love doing this. And the thing for me is Alexa and I almost quit after season 41. I know we're overshadowing the episode.
Also, Phil almost quit after, clear.
So just to be completely frank, I almost quit after season 41 because that was my least favorite season in the history of the show. And I've been very, very forward with that. And then when season 42 was airing, right after it aired, I got so incredibly sick that during season 43, we didn't know if I had serious health problems or if I was just having a surgery that was going to quickly resolve a problem. And luckily, it was a surgery that quickly resolved the problem that could have been so much worse than what it really was. But I almost quit during season 43, too. It was really hard for me. But now that I'm healthy and now that Survivor is cooking, I've thought about giving it up a lot. I can't. I literally can't.
It doesn't help that the past 3 weeks have been damn good.
I know. I'm addicted, man. I was talking to Johnny Fairplay today, and I felt like it was 2019 all over again. I was like, my God, what is happening? And I got a lot to say about Johnny Fairplay coming up. So stay tuned. I'm not joining Reality After Show, and he ain't joining the Survivor Specialist. But I got a lot to say about Johnny Fairplay and his love for the great state of Florida, because he keeps coming down here with all these damn watch parties.
Was he doing a watch party in Florida tonight?
No, not tonight, but he's doing a whole bunch of them, and you all better get your ass to these because they are so much fun. Johnny Fairplay does a great job, just like everybody does in this community. Everybody does a great job with these, but Johnny Fairplay is doing a great job, and on October 25th, he's doing one out in Clearwater at Hogan's Hideout, and Hulk Hogan is going to be there. So if you want to do that, and the 26th, he's actually doing back-to-back nights because Villains is also House of Villains premieres tomorrow night. So Fairplay's doing that. And then he's coming down to Fort Lauderdale December 6th, which I will be definitely going to. Even if I have to buy the VIP ticket, I will go because I demand to be treated like a VIP around Johnny Fairplay. But
are you going to go to the Clearwater one on the 25th?
God, it's 4 hours away and I'm supposed to work a football game. So probably not.
Why did I think Clearwater's closer? Whatever.
Okay. Clearwater's out by Tampa. But anyway, so all of that, just, if you have an opportunity, if you're in Florida, if you have an opportunity to go to those because it's really great. But all of this is to say, I'm finding myself really excited about the show for the first time in a really long time. And I feel like there's still, I have unfinished business, as the Amazing Race season was once called. So I'm ready to keep going. You know, there's going to be some things that are going to change and we'll figure all that out. We have 2.5 months and whatever, and it'll just be what it is. But I just want to just put any end to speculation or rumors or anything like that. I'm burping because I just drank a whole sparkling water in like 3 minutes. But it's
here.
Dying. But there is no issue here. There's no fallout. You're not going to find tomorrow that Alexa kicked a puppy. That's why I kicked her off, or I kicked a puppy and that's why Alexa left. Like, there is zero fallout. This is literally just a decision Alexa wanted to make. And the real reason this is happening now is because she's not here next week and I'm not here the 25th. So.
Yeah. It felt better to say it now instead of in November. Phil and I, like, we've been through it. We met at a party and got in a fight. So it's only right that Phil and I have really like gone through it with this podcast, but this is a one-way thing I'm about to say, but I feel like Phil and I are like, we in this podcast are like the best it's ever been right now, which is why it's so like unfortunate that this is the season that I chose. Mm-hmm. But it felt, you know, with the 41 stuff, it felt wrong to leave on such a bad note. And mm-hmm. Phil and I had been talking this summer, and after, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to tell him after the premiere, like, this is time. And then the premiere happened and I was like, damn, this season's so good. Yeah. I don't want to. But there's something right about this being such a good season. So I don't really know what else to say.
As a Detroit Lions fan, everything good that happens to us always leaves on a high note. When they're at the peak of their career, whether it's Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson. Those are the only two good things that have ever happened to us until this year. So that's what we have.
As Jake said, we're definitely drinking after this.
We're definitely drinking at a bar, whatever it is. Yes, we are. Yes. So all that being said, now we're going to put Alexa's egotistical rant to the side. So
I've never been able to talk this much before.
I know. And it's over now, because now I need to turn this into the one-man show that this is about to be. But Survivor 45, Episode 3. Guys, not to sound like Johnny Fairplay, but that was really fucking good.
I'm going to start swearing.
You might as well blow up the brand of this podcast.
Holy moly. This season's so good. I'm reading all your tweets right now. And that tribal, it's like, again, the tension, and like, we didn't talk about this last week, and this week it's even more so. You've always said really good episodes happen when you know who's going home. And we kind of figured Sabaya was going home. And it was fun to watch that slowly happen as she was roasting a marshmallow, getting confident, gets an idol, mm-hmm. and then goes home. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I was loving that. And the thing was, what the drama came down to, so this is where I'm not buying that Austin found this idol on day 6 or 7. Okay, we'll find this out at some point, but I personally think that Austin found this earlier in the season. And my reason for thinking that is they wanted to put that in this episode to preview what was going to happen at Tribal, because we had all the rules by them telling us in this episode. And somebody had tweeted out, I forget who it was, but like, I'm so tired of like this, these long-winded twists and blah, blah, blah. I totally disagree. I thought this was a great twist on the immunity idol, but by explaining it in that situation, we had time to think about it, have a commercial break, talk to whoever you're watching it with, and have it fresh in your mind. So when Sabaya realizes, we start to say, oh my God, she's going to get the idol and it's only going to be good for tonight. So if she plays the idol and writes down a vote, then Caleb's done. He has no choice. He's screwed. But if she sacrifices her vote, she's putting all her faith in Emily. And we were kind of ahead of her.
Yes.
It wasn't because we thought she was stupid. We were just ahead of her because we had the information. In that moment, a lot of people will question what Sabaya did. In that moment, with the information she had, Sabaya 100% made the right decision.
Absolutely. Yeah, she totally did. And it was like what you said, we were a couple steps ahead of her. When Jeff said one vote left, you saw Emily's whole like posture shift. She was like, that means Sabaya isn't voting. She probably like, looking back on it, like, how would she know? But, or like, why would Sabaya not have a vote? But as soon as that happened, she knew. So it was so much fun. And it was fun to see, like, we have Emily's in trouble, Caleb's in trouble, then Sabaya's finally in trouble. All of them are in trouble. And now Sean's in trouble.
Sean's done. And this is, I mean, I don't know how much you guys listened to me when we had Lindsay on, but man, this tribe played out almost exactly how I thought it was going to. And I'm going to pat myself on the back for that one, because now I have to like convince you all to keep listening to me. But I called pretty much what was going to happen. They really hinted in this edit that these two were going to team up, Emily and Caleb.
Yeah.
And they really drove that home. And the good thing for Sean is there is a tribe swap next week. We're getting a full-blown tribe swap, which, by the way, Jake and Bruce are staying together, so their bromance will continue. But Emily's on blue. Those two are on yellow. So whatever. Mm-hmm. Sean's very lucky. Without this tribe swap, Sean 100% was going home. And Sean found himself in a no man's land, really through no fault of his own. He seems like he has a pretty good relationship with Emily. It doesn't seem like it's bad. It just doesn't seem like it's the type of relationship he needs to have with Emily.
Yeah, absolutely. And he and Sabaya seemed like they were getting really close. And it seemed like he and Caleb were very close too. But I think on paper, Emily is the bottom. And Emily even like knows she was still on the bottom, but she had this one connection with Caleb. And it's been a really nice storyline. It's been going on the entire 3 weeks of this season that Caleb and Emily are going to find themselves. So it's also very satisfying to see that happen. I feel like a complaint that we've had in recent seasons is like, wait, hold on. These two are close. Why are they close? We never saw that.
Yeah.
We have every reason to believe that this was happening. Oh my God. We just got
$5. There you go. Jordan Alford. Wait, not Patrick Stahl. We don't care about it. No, I'm just kidding, Patrick. We're going to get to you. But there you go, Alexa.
If I was playing and I found that advantage, I'd be pissed, to be honest. Also, good luck with whatever you do next, Alexa. Thank you, Jordan.
Jordan's been around. He's an original. He's the one who
is an original.
He listens to the movie podcast. He's always here.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
Jordan,
great.
Jordan's a great fan of the podcast, and it's good to see him here.
Friend of the family. I forget what I was saying here. But yeah, I mean, I'd be finding that advantage, I think. It was so cool because even when they got it, there was an extra layer. And this was something I was so nervous about when like it was announced that there were going to be more convoluted idol hunts. But I am happily, delightfully wrong there because I think it's so fun. And the fact that Sabaya had to make that decision IRL was chef's kiss.
Yeah, and I want to throw this up before we start talking about the idol thing. Bar 6578 says, why was Emily so happy to swap? So I think what people are and this isn't a knock at Bar 6578, who that totally sounds like your real name, but a lot of people I think are going to miss this. Emily now has the power on that tribe, but she's got the power on a 3-person tribe that is falling apart and has nothing left. You have to want to swap because you need to get legs for the remainder of the game. Remember, Malcolm and Denise, when they did what they did, they ended up going to the tribes. Like, they got split up. When Rupert and Jenna were able to get Foreign All-Stars, it was because their tribe was decimated. And so you have to have a swap. And the thing is, now this is really good for Emily, because Emily has somebody tight in Caleb. I don't think Sean is going to be that mad at her. Ultimately, she just happened to get the blind side right, and Sean was on the wrong side of it. I don't think that's going to be the end of the world for Sean. I think Sean will be able to push forward and say, you know what? Like, she's gone. Let's move on. Let's do something else. I think you now, I imagine because they're swapping at 15, it's going to be 5-5-5. And because of that, Emily now has the potential to get herself into a top three on a 5-person tribe, or end up on a tribe that just wins, and she can actually build allyship with other people on her tribe. Maybe Caleb's not there, but maybe Caleb's on another tribe that keeps winning. Now she gets together with Caleb. Now it's a whole new game for Emily. So I think this is a fantastic swap for everybody on that yellow tribe.
Yeah, this feels like a kind of silly thing to say, but there's a lot to be said about winning challenges. And it's really nice that, like, this season it's been shown so much. But we don't always see tribes suffer. And, you know, I think about 41, like Uwa, we saw that, but it didn't feel as intense. I think about the, what's the Edge of Extinction tribe? The Rick Devins and them.
The Lesu.
The Lesu tribe. Like, they were broken. And, like, you saw that, but there was sad music playing when they lost. Like, that was crazy to me. So I think it's like, yes, you can be mad and yes, you can want to play, but they almost can't even play because they're just starving and sad. And at the end of the day, it seemed like the four of them were really close. They did that cute little chant. They seemed very upset. I loved Sean, like, roasting Emily. He was like, well, your behavior. I thought that was so funny. And it shows that they're clearly very close, despite the fact that there's a lot of infighting. And you, like, Denise's don't exist. Like, Denise was a one-time thing. Like, it's so hard to just keep losing and finding that momentum. And it looks like, oh my gosh, we got another.
I'm just going to keep lying. You know what? Alexa's not actually leaving. We're just really desperate for
keep money. It coming, people. Keep it coming. Sad to hear about Alexa. You too. Got me in a Survivor podcast during season 44. Melting wax scene at Tribal was incredible / hilarious. That melting wax scene was so good. It was so long, and Jeff made it so awkward in the best way. And you have to imagine, even if Sabaya, like, if it was Caleb doing it, it's still awkward. You have to, like, get up. You got to turn the marshmallow. It's like a whole situation. Patrick Stahl, sorry.
Patrick Stahl says $5 train. And then I want to go back to one of his comments earlier. He said that it would have gotten awkward with the sit outs if they didn't swap.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but also, Los, apologies for the fact that you're a Bears fan. And as a Lions fan, I can finally start saying that to people. So it's so damn good, and you better believe it. I'm going to shit talk the whole division my entire year here, because it's the only thing I can do. But this wax melting thing was epic. And the fact that Sabaya went in and did it, we were talking about it with Lindsay, and Lindsay was saying on the podcast that she didn't think Jeff would let them. And while I had kind of agreed with her, and she was right, man, that thing caught fire and it was burning. It was ridiculous. But I don't see a way that Jeff can say, no, you can't do that. You know what I mean? I don't see a way that he can say, no, that is amazing television. If that means that your art department has to stay later that one night, they're all in Fiji anyway. I mean, what are you going to do? So just go there and fix it. But you have to let that happen. That was amazing television. I loved every second of it. The fire, the melting, and the fact that we knew the dramatic irony was so good, because we knew it was coming. It was all really good. Somebody did make a comment that they don't think Caleb will trust Sean moving forward. That I do agree with. I think Sean might have cut off Caleb here, because this was very much an episode where if Caleb goes home, Sean, Sabaya, and Emily are fine. But with Sabaya going home, there is now one person who was on the wrong side of that still, because Sabaya just didn't get to vote. And so Caleb and Sean, I think, will have some issues. I don't know if they'll necessarily come to fruition. We didn't hear from Bruce tonight, but we did hear from Katara saying Bruce was annoying. We also heard multiple other people say Bruce was annoying.
Did you know Bruce is annoying?
I met Bruce in real life. My God, what an annoying guy. He was just awful to be around. He was rude to me. He was rude to you. He was rude to my wife. He was rude to intern. Like, I don't know how we all put up with him. I am waiting to find out what the hell is wrong with Bruce, because obviously all of that was a joke. I love Bruce. I don't know what the hell he did wrong.
Bruce is awesome. I think he's just like, I don't know. I haven't lived with him, but like I've hung out with him twice and he's like, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Like my question is, why is this his storyline? And all that is to say, I don't think the Sean Caleb thing is going to come to a head. I think we're going to start getting some Keturah versus Bruce, and we're going to get Jay Maya and Sifu just going home. And no, and I got to say, though, I feel bad for Jay Maya and Sifu. They're not getting an edit at all, and they are clearly irrelevant to the story over on Red. However, this does have that old school feel of they're not leaving these people off just because. It feels like these people are being left off because they're just not going to be integral to the story overall. So it sucks, but it doesn't feel like we're getting a Chelsea who's going to go to Final Eight and we're not going to hear from her the entire season. And it's just because. So we'll
yeah, see. I know it's like, it's very unfortunate because everyone else is getting like a pretty even situation.
Oh my God. Do I have to let people know it's Nicola? So I'll say this.
Oh my God.
He wants me to say it. I was going to start this comment with it. This one for Alexa, it would mean the world to me if I could become a specialist starting next season. Please give me a chance to apply for it. It will never be the same without Alexa, though. Phil, please say not for nothing for Alexa one last time. Not for nothing, Nicola. I appreciate this. This is great. Like I said, there's not going to be another replacement for Alexa.
He's going to take his money back.
You never know who's going to appear on these podcasts. Goodness. Like I said, I'm not starting from scratch because we have 10,000 something subscribers, but I am definitely going to make sure to mix this up a little bit because I need to make this different from what it is with me and Alexa. So, Nicola, thank you very much. I apologize that you're a Panthers fan. I apologize that you're 10-5. I apologize that you keep suffering through that. But we do appreciate this. And if I could, I would go back in time and let the Lions only beat you guys by 7. So it wasn't just pitiful the entire time.
Also, Luke, we saw you too. We were in the middle of talking, discovered you guys back in 41. Discovered you guys in 41, went back and rewatched all of your backlog. My goodness, I am sorry that you did that. Yeah. Going to miss you, Alexa, and Honor Savior. Keep on trucking, Phil. He is going to keep on trucking.
I love that. And Nicola says, can I be a predictions guest then, please? Nicola, will
Phil
talk.
Phil has a podcast.
We'll talk. Phil has a podcast. Yeah, these are great. La this Marina. Is
so
I love
much.
La Marina. I'll give money for Alexa to stay.
Wow, this. I don't know what reactions I was expecting, but
I do like those. Is there a price here, huh?
I'm going to have to talk to Phil offline
a
about
little
this.
Do you we'll all know that too. She's got to split everything with me 70-30 now because she already pushed me through this BS. So
I don't even remember what you're talking about. Oh, Jamie and Sifu. Yeah. It's unfortunate because like they're being referenced as not like clearly not part of this four. And it'd be nice to know why. Sifu, I to an extent understand. Jay, I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But Jay, yeah,
it's interesting because Sifu seems like he's just getting thrown under the bus. And it seems like Sifu just is not he's just not the guy, right? Like, it seems like he's not fitting in with them. He's different. He's out there. He's weird. It almost feels like he's a little Gabe Cade. Gabe Cade.
Goodness gracious.
The 2002 version of this type of weird, but still a little out there for his tribe. Like, kind of like a little hippie-ish. Sifu seems a little bit just out there where he's not fitting in with the tribe, and he's an easy person to throw under the bus because they caught him cheating early on in this game. And by cheating, I mean sneaking around.
Right.
Jay, on the other hand, seems like she's involved. I think Jay's exhausted. I'm going to be honest. I think in real life, I think Jay is probably a huge personality, probably a load of fun to talk to, probably just a really awesome person.
Yeah.
I feel like this game has tired her out. She's giving me that old school again, but going back, like, it's that Jesse from Africa where they were like, what the hell happened to you when you went out there? Or the girl from Thailand who I think it was like Stephanie Dill or something where they were like, Jeff was like, this was your audition tape and this is the human being you put on the island. And I think it might just be getting the best of her a little bit where she's just not being able to be the social person she wants to be. So
yeah.
Andy said, did Sifu or Jay get a confessional tonight? They did not. And neither did Bruce or Brando. I was really shocked at Brando and Bruce.
Did Brando talk?
Brando talked to Kelly, but Brando never had a confessional.
Interesting. That's a really good point about the Jay thing. And like, we saw that really recently with Gabler. Obviously it's very different, but this does happen. Like, people get tired. People can't handle it. And she's like, I don't know. I hope she can like bounce back. or just whatever happens, I'd love to see more of her. Because when she was like, I'm a singer songwriter, and then she and Sifu started like rocking out, I was like, what the heck? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's a guitar, air guitar scene seemed very negative on Sifu.
It did. It seemed like it was awkward more than anything.
Yeah. I think the music overlay was helpful, but yeah, it was like more about him than her. And she's like the singer. So I don't know. It seems like they're kind of coaching Sifu a little bit.
Alexa, since you're leaving anyway, the hell is this in reference to?
So I started laughing when I don't know. I'm here for it. You know, if that's
for anybody who's only listening, Jason comments some serious sexual tension between Emily and Jeff, which I'm sure is being referenced on the On Fire podcast with Jeff and Ray Devin right now. Right. Like there's no doubt about it.
I don't know. The way that Jeff and Brandon were looking at each other last week made me, you know, that was a lot. So I don't know, whatever, you know, I'm happy for them. I missed that. I might have to rewatch the episode.
Now I need to see that again. Okay. I've gone 30 minutes, and since Alexa made this whole podcast, which, by the way, I just want to say right now, don't actually start a GoFundMe and think like,
please do not
at us that like Alexa's going to stay. This is a decision. It's not a money-based decision. Although I did say at the beginning, like I said, there's a lot. The money isn't great, but also this isn't a money-based decision. There's a lot of time and effort and whatever. Alexa just want to do anymore. But
absolutely, we appreciate
money. Don't stop. But I'm just saying, don't go thinking that like there's a certain amount that's going to keep Alexa.
Yeah, we're in a very precarious position right now.
I'm gonna Bernie's you and just be like, no, Alexa, your dead body must be here because
I'm here. I'm gonna be like asleep and Phil will just have a camera, be like, anyways, Alexa, what's your take? No, this is I expected 100 different reactions and this was not it. So I am beyond appreciative. I'm flattered. I don't even know what. So like, I will take the love mail. Do not send us money because feel like, please do it only whatever you're comfortable with. If you are comfortable at all. So anyways, I don't even know what we were talking about. But you're also lovely.
Well, no. So what I was going to say is then,
Bruce is not annoying. I really like him.
I like him, but we're 32 minutes in the episode. And because of you, we haven't discussed this yet.
I'll take
the winner of Survivor 45 is D, and it is
Oh my god, done.
It's a beautiful thing. I love her. She won. Bryce and Wendell both called me, or maybe I was able to call somebody else. Oh yeah, by the way,
now we're in it. Yeah.
Now I have to say this. Speaking of phone calls, just because Alexa is leaving doesn't mean that I'm going to post her phone number on the internet. So don't get excited if you think that's going to happen, guys. This isn't a hate thing for no apparent reason, but
my God,
I love Dee's position in this game right now. And I got to be honest, I love Julie's position in this game right now.
Yeah.
They are playing. The two of them are playing. So again, I like Drew and Austin. This is a great group of four. This has I24, FOA4, except they're dominant. They're not losing, whatever. But I love this group of four. I think this is a phenomenal group of four. Jamaya and Sifu are kind of on the outside of this. But if this group of four is going to go deep in the game, then it makes sense why we're not getting Jamaya and Sifu in the way that we should, or in the way that they would like. But man, Julie and Dee both had great episodes. And Andy Vogel said Julie had a way better episode than Dee. He's wrong, which is typical for him. But
he's always winning.
I do think that the two of them, I could see them sitting next to each other at the final three with a rando as their third. I think they had a phenomenal episode tonight. Phenomenal. And I am really, really into whatever that group of four is doing. I hope that if they get split up here, I hope that all four of them hit the merge, because I'd love to see what they're going to do.
I'm loving it. They're like, again, so many waves in just this hour and a half with the four of them, because we have like the girls versus boys, always good. But it's not like versus, they're on the same team, but they're trying to have sub alliances, and then they get figured out that there's sub alliances. And I think it's so refreshing that every time they could have broken up, instead they were like, you know what, let's double down on this alliance. Drew and Austin, albeit late, told the girls what they were looking for and why they were looking for it. The girls could have gotten that idol and maybe just handicapped Austin for the rest of the game. And didn't. They let the boys do it. So it's so cool to see this like simmering tension. And I really want the four of them to go far because they're so fun.
Yeah, they really are. And it seemed like they were, yeah, it seemed like it was going to fall apart so many times throughout this episode. We saw it where they found Drew and Austin doing what they were doing. And of course, like, that was a terrible lie by Drew. And then, you know, he tried to kind of step it back and say, oh, this is what was happening. And then Austin came over and Drew immediately told Austin what to say so that, you know, Austin then knew to say it. So I thought that it was over there, but then they managed to get back into it. And a lot of that was helped by the fact that Caleb gave the get your vote back thing. He was able to give that, and I need to mute Will because now Will's messaging me. So that's just
showing. He's like, why is everyone texting
me alone? But I think that because Caleb was able to give that to Drew, it allowed for Drew to build trust with something that wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't that good of an advantage. It wasn't that good of anything. But he was able to say to them, look, this is what I have. And what does Drew do? Drew tells Caleb about his advantage that he had even prior to that he has the safety without power advantage. Drew is an open book and it's actually working for him right now. And I don't know why it's working so well for him, but then it ends up working with Julian and D. Julian and D are the ones who find the rope. They're the ones who find the hammer. They ultimately go and tell Austin and Drew, which a lot of people are saying they don't think they should have done that. Now, we don't know how close everybody was to each other. We don't know what was going on, but I think this is a group of four. You can only have three people sit at Final Tribal Council, but this is a group of four where the group dynamic is built on trust. Mm-hmm. And that's what that might be the thing you need right now in today's day and age of Survivor. There's so much random that can happen to derail your game. Maybe now, if you just have a solid group of four, you can prevent some of the random from happening. So I'm really into this group of four.
Yeah. And there's like, it's so funny. We probably have gone full circle on this podcast about it, but it's so common to be like, oh, Phil just gave me information. I'm going to use it to screw him over. Okay. Quick interruption. JK Clumsy, crazy to see Alexa go. I quite literally grew up watching this podcast from middle school through college. How long have we been doing this, Phil? Good luck on your new journeys, Alexa. Excited to see where this podcast goes. Thank you so much. I feel really old.
I got
to
say this, these people, man, you guys got to change your logos. Yeah, like, it's football season.
Oh, it's a giant.
Thanks. You got to change your logo. Trust me, my whole life as a Lions fan, I have had to lie and say I'm not a Lions fan throughout the entirety of an NFL season. I wouldn't have a picture of anything like that up. Man, the Bears, the Giants, what's next? And then Nicholas over here telling everybody about the Panthers game. He paid money to go watch. I am just floored right now. But and Alexa, I know you're doing very well this season. So what is it, 72-3 in the last two games? That kind of makes up for four Super Bowls or something, right?
Yeah,
kind of,
you know, I know. I tell my friends, I'm like, oh, we're so bad. And it's shockingly no one responds to those texts. Yeah. So
yeah. No one feels bad for you. But
No one wants, like, right now, Phil, you tell me information, I immediately go and tell someone else to ruin your position in the game. And that has clearly worked. And that's clearly like the basis of Survivor, but it's so nice to see that it doesn't have to be. And Austin was about to go without a vote. And now he doesn't have to, because he has three people who are going to build him up. It's so cool. It honestly feels like something we haven't even seen before, which shows how long this show's been on.
Yeah, exactly. And it has been so long, and just how refreshing it is to watch these people run around and find the clues and find the different things. And I really like this twist with the advantage that they found with the idol. I think if this will remove losing your vote from the game and everything kind of turns into sacrificing the vote, now you are making a decision to go forward. And I think that this is a good idea of, you can use this just once and it's a normal idol, or you can try to sacrifice your vote and now you get it till the merge, or you sacrifice your vote again and now you get it until final five or whatever it is. I think that's a good twist. I like that twist. I think that's fun. I think that's, honestly, that's kind of an exciting version of this. I don't like losing your vote, but sacrificing your vote as a strategic element is fun. That is different than losing your vote. When you lose your vote, there's really no strategy to it. And you don't know what you're up against with the Beware advantage. Mm-hmm. Once you have that and you can say, okay, I can sacrifice my vote in order to go further in the game. Sabaya had it made if the vote went the way she wanted it to go tonight. And
yeah,
that would have been great for her. So I think that this is a fresh twist. I think that having them hunt for the idol was a lot of fun to watch because it's been so long since we've seen people actually do that. And yeah, like that's really all I have to say about that. Keep this type of stuff coming. They listened, and I don't know if they just got a budget or if they were just worried about filling 90 minutes, but they're doing a lot right now.
They're doing, and it's going to be so interesting to see because I think season 46 was filmed and they were not sure if it would be 90 minute episodes.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see that. And especially for future seasons too, whether or not it's going to be 90 minutes, but I love what they're doing. What do you think about the Goodwill Advantage?
I like the Goodwill Advantage. I think that the Goodwill Advantage is super lame. And I mean that in a good way. I think that it's something that doesn't do much to the game. It's not like it gives you an extra vote. It's only going to help you if you don't have a vote. It's not that powerful. It's really not. Yeah. So for me, I like it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Now, I would be curious if, as the game goes on, if there's a steal a vote at one point, let's say you come in, you steal my vote. Can I use that advantage in order to keep going? I don't know, but I am curious if that, like, I'm curious to see how that plays out, but ultimately I don't think the Goodwill Advantage is that big of a deal. And that's how I want my advantages to be. I don't want them to be that big of a deal.
Yeah. It's just quick interruption. Go ahead. Chris, love for Alexa. I forgot I have to do this. Love for Alexa. I've been watching since Game Changers. I'm in Australia. Would watch your recaps lives during high school lunchtime. Your icons. Glad we're keeping people busy during the day, Phil. Thank you, Chris. And Patrick Saul. Next, they need to bring back Applebee's. I've still never had Applebee's. So Phil, maybe the next time we
that'll
hang out,
be your final
we
meal.
Might need to get some Applebee's.
Instead of watching, we will be live podcasting the finale recap from an Applebee's.
Yeah. Exactly.
And there will be numerous bathroom breaks.
A lot of
people are just into grapes right now though, because that was the reward, but
we'll get into that. But yeah, it's like, it's fine. And I think it's like, it's a way to give someone something while not really giving them too much. And I think Kayla probably overplayed it a little bit. So I think Lulu is still going to be in a little bit of trouble because they lost their one person with an idol, and the only person who has relationships outside of their tribe was like coming on a little strong. Mm-hmm. So again, it'll be really interesting to see how this tribes break out. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because we don't know how anything's going to go yet. So we're just sitting here waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And that's just what we do, right? Like, we just have to sit here and wait. And the only reason somebody had asked earlier, how do I know this? They literally showed Bruce wearing a yellow one and
Bruce
Jake
and Jake and, yeah. Emily
and
Emily has
wearing blue.
Blue. And then the three, like Sifu, Julie, and Dee were all wearing red. And Sifu is holding a yellow bag. So I don't know if they're on the same tribe or if they... I don't know. I'll have to rewatch.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But I do want to just bring this up one more time, Alexa, since we're talking about Applebee's and since we have to take trips down memory lane throughout the rest of the season.
Please.
So I just want to do that.
Ah!
That was made for me on Reddit. If you search specialist, it's one of the first things that come up.
God, this is awful.
So that comes from Jordan Mays. Jordan Mays made that 4 years ago.
Wow. So,
there you go. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. We're going to have to go through some good memes. There's another good Karisha meme, but I will not say it out loud, but Phil and I used to send it to each other a lot.
Yeah. For anybody who's wondering, it's the everyone when Karisha says Applebee's is her favorite sit down restaurant. And it's the Lesu for, well, not War Dog. It's Rick Devins instead. And it just says, God, this is awful. So anyway, but no, I am curious to see how this is going to play out. So let's jump over to the Blue Tribe because that's a tribe we haven't talked about really at all. Katara doesn't like Bruce. This is news. This is something.
I did not know. I wasn't sure.
Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce and showing up at football games every now and then. I don't know if people know these things, right? Like, these are new breaking events that we must check in on every 5 seconds just to make sure it's still real. But Katara doesn't like Bruce. Kelly and Brando are... Kelly said tonight, Brando's my number one.
Yeah.
I didn't hear a confessional from Brando, but Brando seemed to be totally content with that. Jake loves Bruce. Jake and Bruce are boys from Boston, and I'm not going to try to do your cousin from Boston, whatever that. Remember that commercial? Your cousin from Boston.
It's like, so good.
That's Jake and Bruce right now. He loves it. So I think that Kendra tonight, all of a sudden, she's like, I like Jake. This is interesting.
Jake's I like this man died. Who almost died.
Also Jake, or Kendra's facial expressions and stuff are gold. She's been phenomenal. This is from E.
E, hi.
Emily.
Been with y'all. Hi, Emily. Been with y'all since season 34. Sad day for us all. Very sad day.
Not over yet, though.
Thank you. I know poor Phil is like, hello?
Out.
Kendra, I'm glad you have turned the corner on Kendra because I'm here. I'm here for her. She's so fun.
I don't think she's going to win. I think she's a character. But you know what? She's not a Carolyn character, and that's fine. You don't need a Carolyn on every season. Carolyn is Carolyn, and that's why we love her. Nora was kind of the same way. Kendra is a little bit below that, but Kendra's really good TV. Kendra really knows herself. I like that she says, I'm just a wild whatever. She doesn't know. But she's willing, a little bit more willing to work with Jake. What I'm wondering is, are we going to get one of those weird tribe swaps where Jake and Kendra and Bruce are all together, and then they just take out the two people that they're with, and that's why we're seeing this. Is Kendra actually feeling close with Jake, or is this just good storytelling from Survivor, and they're willing to tell us all of this information because eventually, somewhere down the line, that's what's going to be important. So I don't really know where to fall on that yet, but I do feel like we clearly know where everybody stands on that tribe, and the more I see this, the more it plays out. I know that Bruce is getting the annoying dad edit, but I still feel like Keturah is getting really bad content ever since episode one. And, you know, they're talking about she's intense. We don't like her. We could get rid of her, blah, blah, blah. I think Keturah is in a little bit of trouble. And I think Keturah went from playing really, really cerebrally. I cannot say that word. Why did I even try that? That was so stupid. I think she tried to play like that. And now it's starting to become a little bit more of like a personal thing. And I know they're out there for 48 hours and she's not just talking about Bruce the whole time. If she is, it's Halloween. She is in, it's serial killer month, right? I mean, come on, here we go. But
my goodness.
I don't think she actually cares that much about Bruce, but because it's all we're seeing in the edit, I have to believe something about it. So I think this, I think that the fact that we saw Kendra buddying up with Jake, we see Jake liking Bruce, we see Kelly and Brando talking about how they'd be willing to go with Kendra and go with Jake. Keturah is not looking good at the end of this.
So. Yeah, I think the anti-Bruce thing worked until it became the only thing I know.
Yeah, Jason says some serious sexual Jake Bruce tension.
We're watching a different show than you, Jason, but yeah. I'm intrigued. But Jake, I think Jake like loves Bruce. It's really cute. But I know, I think because the only thing we're seeing from Keturah is anti-Bruce, that is not necessarily good. And we're also getting Bruce isn't great either. So
yeah,
it might be a little like the anti Josh versus Jeremy kind of thing where they go up against each other and no one really cares who wins. Mm-hmm. Survivor 45 giving off Love Island vibes. Yeah, that's what we're watching here. But I think it's fun because it's making the blue tribe, their dynamic a little more interesting. And all three tribes are having very, very different experiences, which is easy to differentiate, but also makes it very enjoyable.
Yeah, and Andy has a good one here. There was anti-Bruce from Kelly during the challenge too. So right. It was Kelly who said, he sometimes just annoys me.
Yeah, which like, I feel like I could say that about anyone.
Why do you think, so I guess what I'm wondering is, why do you think they are focusing on this so much in this edit?
I don't know, because like, I can't imagine Bruce will ever be quote unquote annoying enough that they can't live with him. Like, I don't see an Abby thing. So I don't know if like maybe this is something Bruce grows out of. I could see that happening. Like it turns into a Bruce becomes the leader, or Bruce finds himself. Or that's just his thing. But I don't know. We brought him back. It was this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And now he's just the annoying dad. I don't know.
It feels very strange. It feels like a very, very strange edit. And I'm trying to figure out, are they setting him up to overcome that, but he does not, there's nothing for him to overcome this early on, or are they setting him up because he's going to be the adversary for somebody who does go on to win? Like, is somebody from blue going to go on to win the game and their first big move is going to be voting out Bruce? I mean, remember, Ellie was very likable. She was somebody everybody enjoyed watching on TV. Everyone, with the exception of one man whose name starts with P and ends with L, thought that Ellie was going to get the better of Gabler. And it didn't happen, but that's what we were led to believe. And when you rewatch that whole buildup, not that I have, but when you do rewatch it, Gabler is not as negative in that run as you think he is. It's just you're obviously rooting for Ellie. So they're so blatantly telling us who to root against in this situation. And that confuses me because I feel like Bruce is such an easy underdog. So like, who did Bruce say, like, I don't like your hair today too? And then that ended up getting him this edit. Like, what is going on?
Yeah. And we didn't hear from him either.
No.
Which is fine. Like, their tribe had the least going on, but still just kind of odd. Maybe they had to flesh out these other relationships, because this Kendra and Jake thing I think is really cool. And maybe what happens is he goes out pre-merge, they swap, and it's him and Keturah. And she's like, Emily, he's so annoying. And or he's on a tribe with Keturah and Emily, game over.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? No, it's true. That is true. Because I could definitely see Emily saying, I don't need this. Oh my God. Okay, we don't need to put that.
Okay, we'll save that for another podcast.
I do think that they are setting him up for a fall more than they're setting him up for a redemption arc. And maybe they don't have enough. Maybe when he does go, maybe it's in a more random way and they want it to be more satisfying when it happens. Mm-hmm. But I'm surprised. I'm really surprised. I'm surprised we didn't hear from him or Brando tonight. I feel like those are, you know, I feel like Bruce is an easy one just because he played before, but I feel like Brando is good. The one talking point that's no good from Keturah is the play, like, it's your second time and this is Bruce's second time. At this point, you've all played the same amount of Survivors, Bruce. Like, the advantage that he had early on, which was going through the whole casting process, going through the whole, you know, situations of the days before and eating the food and not talking to each other and getting ready to go out there on the island, that's where his advantage is over. This is not his second time playing. Bruce is playing, I think, the way he would have played in the first season, because he learned nothing. The only thing that I will say Bruce learned is he moves very slow in these channels. Watch your fingers. He said, watch your fingers today. And I just think, like, he is very paranoid in the challenges because he knows what it's like to go home that way. Even though he might not remember going home that way, he knows what it's like. And so I think that he is very paranoid about that. But the rest of the game, he doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. He's just on the same level as everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's a tough combo for him to be someone who's naturally a leader and the returning. Like, you wonder if it was Carson who this happened to, you know, or Carolyn. It'd be a completely different ballgame. So, but also now it totally makes sense why Bruce is on Tika. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it does. It does. Bruce versus Carolyn might have actually been what we were all dying for. Who would have
thought? I know. The content we deserved.
I know.
What else?
We had a reward challenge today.
So yes, that was awesome.
A pure reward challenge. Alexa, you were talking about last week. You kind of missed it. I mean, this was a very well-paced episode of
this. That was the missing piece. It was perfect. Fantastic. Because I'm like kind of on Journeys. I thought that was beautifully timed. And very new, very physical challenges. Huge fan.
Yeah, I agree.
I watched them.
And yeah, I guess like they tried to get rid of the puzzles a little bit because of what happened last season, honestly. But I do think
they snapped Kelly and Brando out because they were like, no puzzles, you guys can.
Well, and so we now have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We've had 10 different people sit out in the challenges. Nobody sat out twice. So this new rule did work, but 10 different people have sat out. I like the reward challenge. It really shows what Survivor can be if they ever get back to 39 days. I think that's the last missing piece, right? Like, you know, I have my link for helping people book their Disney vacations in the link here.
Disney do that every time.
I do. Disney just came out with, they got rid of their park hopper rules. They used to have it where you could park hop at any time, and then COVID hit. And now you couldn't park hop till 2 p.m. And everybody was like, why won't they just get rid of that? It's such a nightmare. And then they were getting rid of all these other COVID things that they were claiming were going to stay forever. And today they just announced they're getting rid of the park hopper rules. So now you can park hop whenever you want. That kind of feels like where Survivor is going. Survivor tried a bunch of things. They didn't work out. The fans didn't react positively. And they acted like, no, it's going to stay, it's going to stay, it's going to stay. And then they realized, okay, if we want this to continue on, if we want to continue to build the product, we need to keep moving forward and we need to listen. And I think they did. And I think now if they're going to get hour and a half episodes, I do think that CBS and, you know, whoever is in charge of that would give them would give them 39 days again. I do think it would go back because now it makes more sense to put more money into a show that is now taking up a whole other TV show's time slot. You have to think about that, right? Like this show, if you're a sitcom, you get 30 minutes. So Survivor is taking up a whole sitcom budget with having that extra half hour. They have money. And I'm not saying go spend the amount of money you'd spend on a sitcom for those extra 30 minutes. But going 39 days, I think is definitely worthwhile. So I think that's the one thing missing right now. And I think if they did do that, it would be a great thing for the show because Reward Challenge would be back in full force. And with the added time, the reward challenges don't take away from anything. And the rewards don't have to be these epic things. But just watching them eat bananas and grapes and whatever. I mean, the whole chat was talking about grapes earlier. So weird. It's really nice.
It's so nice. There's so much room to breathe. I've been reading your tweets because I miss them live. And I couldn't agree more. It's so well constructed. And I think you're right. Like looking back, it's so hard in the moment to be like, why is this just happening? Like, I can't differentiate 41 through 44. This is such a clear delineation. And you wonder, like, is it because it was season 45? Did the stars just align where they could get 90 minutes? But it feels like you gotta break things to figure out what's going to work. And I feel like we and so many fans are so critical of the show. And I'm glad we were, because if it contributed even 1% to how good this product is, then it was worth it.
Yeah.
Thank you for Alexa being awesome and for D winning. Love both of those things. D is looking like a real winner.
Yeah. D is. So Alexa, now I will ask you this. So I know you're not going to podcast anymore. I know that's going to stop at the end of the season, but are you going to watch House of Villains or no?
I'll give it a try. I actually tried Big Brother.
Yeah, that was
stupid. And I don't think it's for me. I'll give House of Villains a shot.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna try it out tomorrow.
I will happily watch Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah, Johnny Fairplay on TV is always a win. But I think I'm gonna watch it tomorrow. And I love that Johnny Fairplay is going all in with this stuff. I mean, he was texting me all his little things today. And like, look, I really like Fairplay, and I hope that I went to one of his events and they're really fun. So I just want to like throw out. I mean, if you didn't see his things, he's coming to Florida October 26th, October 25th. Those are both going to be the ones out at Hogan's Hideout Hogan's Hideout somewhere. It's out in Clearwater. You guys will find it. And so he's doing that for Villains and for Survivor. And then he's doing another Villains one November 16th down here in Miami. And then he's doing the Fort Lauderdale show December 6th for Survivor. So he's doing a lot down here for Survivor and for Villains. So I'm definitely going to go to one on December 6th. I told him maybe because I had to keep him wanting more, you know, but I definitely will go to that one. Can't be too aggressive, but I definitely am going to go to that one. But I do highly recommend it. It's a totally different vibe than the Bryce and Wendell ones. And even than the RHAP ones, like it's a different thing. And I think that's good. I think you go to all these parties, they're all different. And for anybody who lives down here in South Florida, but this is kind of our chance. Like, we got to show Fairplay that it's worth it. He went out to LA, and the one guy was like, "Oh, next time you come, it'll be good." And Fairplay's like, "No, this was your chance, and you guys didn't succeed." Yeah, it didn't work. So I just wanted to throw all those out there because I think that, you know, it's a fun. They're fun events, and everybody knows about Bryce and Wendell's, and I'm not taking away from those at all. But I think that Fairplay's things are just a little bit different, and the fact that he's doing House of Villains too, and he's going to have some of the villains there with him, that's going to be a good time. And go meet Johnny Fairplay. Like, it's worth it. He's not the asshole he wants you to think he is. But don't tell him I said that.
Yes. No, I think that the idea of the show is so cool. I love it.
And Will worked on it. Big time. What's that? Will worked on it. Huge.
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, Will was a big time producer on this. His name's going to be in the credits here, kids. So Will,
that's very cool.
Yeah, like, so I don't know anything about the show, and I don't want to know anything about the show. But, like, if Phil and Will did come back, Will would not be allowed to podcast about House of Villain because he was a big time person on that.
I forget. Yeah. So I know we missed the, I wasn't able to go to the New York RHAP event, and I don't think that, which was combined with the Bryce and Wendell, it sounds like there probably won't be a New York one until like next season. So the next time something's in New York or Boston when I'm home, I'll totally go to them. Or I sometimes go to Florida in the winter. So maybe that could time up well.
Could you imagine you and me at Johnny Fairplay's party the week before the finale or 2 weeks before the finale? What a cry.
I simply could not.
Yeah.
So anyways, you'll see us at some events. It sounds like you'll be seeing Phil at a lot more events than me coming up, but hopefully there's going to be more. I think it's so great that like all the players are getting into that. And yeah, go hang out with Phil in South Florida. He finally got what he wished for.
Yeah, I know. I really did. I really did. You know, it's fair play. It's not Bryson Wendell. It's fair play.
to be clear.
You take what you can get.
Take what you can get. All right. Should we do some props?
Yeah.
Everyone's swearing.
Yeah, dude, the bleeps, but it was all the same people. Nobody knew got a bleepy bleep except for Jake. Jake's
Kendra,
was
there. Jake. Bruce, kind of.
So his mouth wasn't blurred. He was cursing and it was bleeping the subtitle. But we always said you got to see the mouth blurred.
I know. Yeah, I didn't think that was like a concern, but I guess so. I really didn't get much else. I don't know what the episode title was.
I don't know what was the episode title, kids. Somebody help. I didn't look either. I totally forgot. Well, Sabaya did have a confessional in every episode, so that's good. She did go home with an unused advantage.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so Sabaya also got that. Are you inputting this as I say it?
I am not, but I can.
Okay, just I wasn't sure. I saw you kind of clicking, but I wasn't sure. No Man Left Behind. Who said it? Sabaya. Okay, so Sabaya had the episode title too.
Wow, good for her. She is a prep queen on her way out.
I'm going to wait for the confirmation, but Caleb, I am 99% sure, had 10 or more confessionals in this episode, so that's most likely going to happen. He is coming into his own. Lindsay was 100% right about that in our predictions episode, that it was just going to be a matter of time before he kind of started to take off. And
five votes or less, confessional in every episode.
Oh, hidden meaning idol.
Wow, she got five props.
Austin got a hidden meaning idol and Sabaya got a hidden meaning idol. So both of those count.
Let me put that in. No one cried. Jake swore.
Sabaya got five or less votes.
Yeah, she got a hidden immunity idol, five votes or less, a confessional in every episode, the episode title, and went home with an unused advantage.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for alcohol at auction. I was just looking at that.
I'm so excited. All right, and then you got the Austin with the hidden immunity idol.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's it for right now. I do think Caleb's going to ultimately have 10-plus confessionals in an episode. Bruce, Brando, Jay Maya, and Sifu are officially out of the running for having a confessional in every episode.
Darn.
Yeah, so that's done.
And pretty even overall, it feels like.
Yeah, and nobody had anything for the fantasy game. There were no idle play, no advantage play. Nobody won, no individual immunity, no quit. That was day 7 that it went home. No mentioning of Vanuatu, no former player being mentioned. Nobody said Edge of Extinction is good, which is why this season continues to be good. And Andy Vogel, I think this is a good one to end on. Can we talk about how Emily hasn't received the vote yet?
Our queen.
Yeah, unreal. Good for her.
The real queen of this podcast.
Yeah, Emily might win. Emily might pull a Tony here, kids. Might happen.
She had the best quote in the
did.
I'm just she saying. Did.
I know. She's going to have to sword fight D's toe at the end of the game. So we'll
stop. Stop that.
Like whoever wins that will be crowned.
If Emily wins, I'm coming back on the podcast.
If Emily wins and she is sitting next to D at the end, you're allowed back on. Otherwise, get out.
If she beats D.
Yeah. If she beats D. If D does like, I don't know. It's Halloween. Let's do it. The Shining. Little dude. When he like acts like he's talking to his friend, but it's D with her toe talking to the jury. Yeah,
I D liked our tweet, so you know I hope she's watching this and is like, who are these people?
It's so easy. But anyway, Alexa, you made your announcement. It's out there in the open. It's out there in the world. Now let the speculation begin about what you did wrong. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
What did Phil and I fight about? Leave a comment.
What did we fight about? What do you think happened? But season, yeah. So anybody who's not a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. If you're $20 patron, this was the best time to do it because of the power rankings game and the fantasy game. Both of those are kind of into it now, so it becomes a little bit tougher to hop in there. I still do my after show every week. John and McKenna are still doing Survivor Rewind, which is a lot of fun. And Amazing Race, yeah. I don't think they did episode 2, though. I don't know what ended up happening with that, so I'll have to ask McKenna. Mm-hmm. But they did do episode 1. I don't know.
They're busy.
That was almost a good segue, but I'm not going to let you do it yet, Alexa. Sorry, I'm going to have to keep going. Sorry.
Darn. Continue.
That was very good though. You tried. But yeah, anybody, John says if 10 more $20 patrons join, he'll watch Jack and Jill live in the Discord. So he'll make sure everybody can talk about that. That's the Coach famous movie. So John will sit through that. For anybody who doesn't know, John and I do the movie podcast, which we're doing right after this. We're talking about The Exorcist, The Believer, gigantic fart noise. And we're talking about Avengers Age of Ultron, which I think is a gigantic fart noise, but you should listen if you like that movie anyway. But John is so pretentious. So for him to watch Jack and Jill would actually be a true treat. But
getting closer.
Yeah, we'll have to see what ends up happening with the Patreon next season with Alexa leaving, because she does handle a lot of the work in some of that stuff. And I handle like a lot of the work in that stuff. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But this season is going to keep going as planned. And then I'm pretty much just going to sit here and strategize what's going to happen. So we'll see what ends up happening come the new year. But we appreciate everybody. And Alexa, I'll let you actually talk now because you should say it.
Yeah, we appreciate all of you guys. Again, this was like the coolest way that this could happen. So not going anywhere in the imminent future. But yeah, you'll be seeing a little less of me moving forward. But that doesn't mean we haven't been putting in the work on getting some good guests. We are doing a little cross-tribal alliance for this next upcoming predictions podcast. We have James from Will and James from Amazing Race, who's going to be joining us on this coming Monday. We actually don't have a time set yet, but sometime probably around 6 or 7 p.m. East Coast time. James will be joining us for predictions. We had him and Will on for a recap podcast of The Amazing Race. We haven't actually talked to them about or talked to James about Survivor on this podcast. We've talked to him live many times about it. He is so much taller than I thought he was.
Oh, my God. You think
you're tall until you meet someone
like that. I never thought I was tall, but that really made me feel like I was short. That's all I'm going to say.
He carries himself beautifully. So anyways, I don't know why that matters. So tune in sometime on Monday.
We're going to be chatting for the podcast. Just so
yes. Yeah. It's going to be like when Drew and Julie were like having that.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. We are still business as usual for the rest of the season. I can't believe I'm saying it's knock on wood. We actually have a lot of people booked already. So Phil and I are really, we're really on one right now. So again, thank you all so much for the love. We're so excited to keep the podcast going. It's just going to look a little different. And I don't know what else to say. I'm sure I'll come up with something more poignant as December gets closer.
I really hope
I'm drunk in an Applebee's with Phil.
I really hope you do. You were on such a heater, you know, he's such a heater. But anyway,
we have a shot. Anyways, have a great night. See y'all Monday.
Bye.
Bye.